You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
The Blurred Nerds podcast is proud to be sponsored by Sweatpants and Coffee, the blanket fort of the internet, where comfort rules. Find them on the web at www.sweatpantsandcoffee.com.
You're listening to the Blurred Nerds podcast, part of the ESO Network, brought to you by GBTV and the Geek Ventures.
Welcome to the Blurred Nerds podcast, ladies and gentlemen. This is Little Bit.
And this is the Geek Father.
It is time for episode 261. Happy July, folks. This is our first episode of July.
Yay.
We are once again, you know, well, not once again, still, we're still in our heat wave because we're just going to complain about the weather every episode. I saw a map of the country yesterday, and it was showing, like, the parts, at least part of Georgia over to the right, and they're like, we're experiencing below normal temperatures, and I'm sitting there just like, I hate this part of the country. Not the part we're in right now. I hate the part that's getting below normal temperatures. I'm like, really?
And it's going to be in the low 80s. You're like, I wish so badly.
Yeah, because we're going to break more records this upcoming week. We're looking at it. One day it's going to be like 111.
Ah, it's triple digits. 111. Yeah, let's all get heat stroke. Yay.
Yeah. Which, you know.
Well, we're.
I've already had it. So, yeah, I am prone to heat exhaustion. I am currently sitting in a dark room right now, working by the glow of the laptop.
All lights off. Please, not room get hot.
Here well, we are in the background. That's once again my fan, because right. Even in the new house, my office is still warm.
That is just your lot in life, to be stuck in a warm room.
Yeah.
Well, we are recording in my post birthday for the Geek Father. Yay! Happy birthday to me. So I got
you got your first Lego set. Like, how is that possible?
Ever? Well, see. Okay, let me explain. Growing up in my household, Carolyn Coe, my mother, ran a tight ship, and she didn't want no messing around. And I was a, you know, messy kid, so my toys were all over the floor. If she had stepped on even one Lego, it would have been over. And so she didn't let me get Legos. So, because you knew they would be strewn about the place. And as soon as you stepped on one, she'd have been nuclear, you know, Armageddon. She wouldn't have liked it.
Well, but I mean, even like as your teenage, early 20s.
Yeah, but by then I didn't really embrace my nerdery again until I was like 24, because there was a stretch there when I had like teenage years and whatever. I was playing football and I was trying to be cool. And I was like, you know, toys are kids kind of deal. And I had that kind of mindset until the Star Wars prequels came out. And by then I was just like, And then, you know, as these, you know, Lego sets kept getting more and more expensive, I was just like, that's fine. But, you know, so my first ever Lego set, my sister-in-law, Amanda, bought me a little Slave One, you know, Boba Fett's fire spray class ship. And I was just like, oh, my first ever Lego. And of course, everyone commented like, what, for real? I was like, yeah, I've never had a Lego before. Now I have to do is find the time and the focus to put it together, because I'm a terrible scatterbrain procrastinator. So, but when I start doing that, I will put up pictures and they'll be up for everybody to see me and my Lego building prowess, or lack thereof.
And well, it could be the beginning of a, you know, new
well, we're
obsession
not,
for you.
I'm not going to be approaching the Scott, friend of the show, Scott Keys level of Lego mastery. The man has so many Lego sets. It's ridiculous. I mean, I'm in awe, really. And then, of course, I got the Lego set. And then you got me a nice Rocinante crew cap for my birthday, which was nice. I appreciate that very much. And I bought myself a birthday gift because I saw Gary, our friend Gary Orozco, had gotten a bunch of lunch boxes.
Yeah, I got one too.
Yeah, it was like, he had this big haul of, I don't know, just a stack of lunch boxes. And he was like putting pictures of them. And these are like, anybody who's a child of the 80s knows what we're talking about. These tin lunch boxes, metal lunch boxes, Dukes of Hazzard, G.I. Joe, Star Wars, Masters of the Universe, whatever toy.
Well, and some franchise. Of them I'd say were like even 60s and 70s because there's like Archie's and Roy Rogers.
Yeah, it's old school stuff. Basically, anybody from the you know the beginnings of Gen X to the tail end know what we're talking about. So,
and most of them, well, I don't know if most, but a lot had the thermos. Which is
Well, very hard to find. I was like, oh, that's cool, and I saw a picture of one. It was a G.I. Joe lunchbox, like the G.I. Joe Real American Hero, action figure series, cartoon, whatever. And it was a lunchbox, and I was like, cool. And I saw that it was signed by Larry Hama. And I was like, how much is that, Gary? He's like, I'll give it to you for $100. I'm like, I'll take it. So, yeah, I met up with him yesterday and picked up my new precious Larry Hama signed G.I. Joe lunchbox with the thermos. That's right, folks. Be jealous.
Yeah, I'm getting the black hole one.
Yes. You told me. I was like, that sounds very gin. It sounds very little bit. Black hole, yeah. I love the black hole. It was great. They don't make scary Disney movies for kids like that anymore.
Scary, like, acid trip.
Yeah, you're like.
Or bad acid trip.
Yeah, you're like, wow, the robot's frightening. Yeah.
Plus, I think, I'm pretty sure the guy who plays the, I don't even know if bad guy is the right word, but who's supposed to be the villain who, you know, creates like the red robot. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's the same dude who played the villain in Time Bandits. Like,
I think so.
My memory is telling me it's the same actor, but yeah, I like Star Wars. And of course he had a bunch of Star Wars lunch boxes, but like the black hole, it's kind of like wrapped up in this whole like black hole, Time Bandits, Dark Crystal, you know, like memories of childhood.
Is it those that quirky kind of out there kind of, you know, movie that was just dissimilar to all the other, you know, stuff they put out?
Yeah, and it doesn't matter to me that it's Disney because it's so unlike Disney.
Yeah, it was like just, they took a shot, you know, so something different, and it's that's why it stands out.
Well, they saw Star Wars was popular. I'm like, we need to do a space movie.
We need our own.
They just skipped over A New Hope and went straight to The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, so that's good stuff. And then I went with Timmy and a rare outing with Jenny. She came along and she brought a friend of hers. And we went and saw Thor Love and Thunder on Thursday.
Yeah, we went and saw it Thursday too.
And I will say, it's no Thor Ragnarok, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, so let's get to, we won't go into heavy spoilers, but some mild spoilers. So if you haven't seen this yet, you might want to just skip to the second half of the show. I wasn't expecting to be like Ragnarok, specifically because if we're getting Jane Foster being the mighty Thor, then we know we're going to be going into some darker, not so funny territory.
Yeah,
I still think, like, yeah, her character was better than, she's written better than Dark World, but I still think they kind of did her a bit dirty in, like, relegating her more to sidekick instead of letting her, you know,
yeah, I think
stand
they should've...
out more as her own.
Because they didn't really let her kind of shine really on her own until the third act.
Yeah.
I think they really could have put Thor as the kind of sidekick in this one and have it be her story, just from, you know, I did hope they'd done that. But I
do hope this, like, I don't expect people to come back from death when we see them in another place.
Right.
You know, like, yes, other characters have come back from death, but we're seeing the other side in this movie. And, but I kind of hope that isn't much of any, like, I get that that could be fan service and just be like, okay, we're showing you these characters one more time. But I want to, I'm like, show it to us for a reason other than that. Like, is it, make it a possibility that they can return from Baja?
Well, I feel like this phase of the MCU is focused on obviously the cosmic slash metaphysical slash kind of the different realms,
yeah,
as well as the multiverse, and like the different realms, like it's, you know, in Moon Knight, it dealt with the Egyptian, you know, realm of, you know, the dead.
Yeah, well, and we saw that he came back from that.
Right.
And we have seen in Black Panther that they can,
right,
well, they can enter that realm, and
yeah, they have their own realm, and then you have, you know, the Asgardians with Valhalla, you know, and you know, and of course you missed, like, maybe there's some Easter eggs when they went to the, basically they have to beat, was it Gore the God Butcher,
mm-hmm,
and his, like, I forget what they call the sword, which the sword in the comics is a basis, it's attached to like the Venom symbiote, kind of, it's from the same species, sort of,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're making that connection in the MCU or not. So they have to go, they have to reach what, Infinity?
Eternity,
yeah. An eternity to make their wish to have it come true. And it's interesting because when they have a lot of nods to Celestials, if you saw, pay attention really closely. And I'm thinking they're going to have a lot more to do in this phase than we initially thought they were. Or maybe they're setting them up for phase 5. I don't know. I mean, I liked it. I mean, Thor was,
yeah, I like
funny
it,
as always.
I think it's interesting what they're setting up for the future for Thor.
Yeah,
you know, with his new sidekick,
yeah,
who's part Celestial. I think it's hysterical they brought his goats in.
Oh, those goats are great.
Because especially, you know, like if you, the goats are in the comics, but if you actually know the mythology. The goats are who Thor used to have pull his chariot across, yeah, the sky and stuff when he just didn't feel like traveling on his own,
yeah,
or putting in the work. But then when he got hungry, he would eat them and then reincarnate them and start the process all over again.
sounds very Thor.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see, you know, the teasers we got in their post credits. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see Hercules.
Yeah, the teaser sets up Hercules, and of course the guy playing Hercules is really cool.
Yeah, he's from Ted Lasso, or most people would know him from Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
As a coach.
So, you know, I thought they killed Zeus, and apparently I guess he was just wounded. Hey, being a god, I'm sure he's like, I'll brush it off. It's just a flesh wound. So obviously I'm thinking down the line somewhere.
Yeah, but he was only, gotta remember, he was only stabbed with his lightning bolt. He was not stabbed with the God killing sword.
Right.
So
I guess we're going to look forward to it down the line here that eventually Hercules and Thor are going to have it out. And I can only imagine that Hercules is going to end up joining the MCU and who knows, ended up being an Avenger down the line. Cause in the comics, he does end up becoming an Avenger. And he fights Thor, he's all over the place. So I'm like, oh, cool. I can't wait to see that. As well as, like you said, I would love to see, you know, the Vikings who go to Valhalla come back, you know, because you've got what's his name?
Heimdall.
Yeah, I got Heimdall there. And I'm like, oh, I want to see him interact with his son. And that would be cool. But, you know. They're setting it up.
But it is interesting that we are getting more of the mythological, like characters from myths, you know, because we had Eris show up at the end of the Eternals.
Yeah, that's what they're focusing on.
And I, you know, let's take away the comic aspect of it. I grew up obsessed with mythology. You know, reading and watching all the cartoons they would make, watching all the movies. Whether it was, you know, Clash of the Titans to the B movie, Hercules and all that stuff. So I'm all for it. I'm like, yes, bring more of the gods and people from mythology into something that has a better budget than what we watched in the 80s.
Yeah. It was good as, you know, the Harryhausen stop motion stuff was.
Although I still say the original Clash of the Titans is phenomenal, and I will still watch
it. Oh, I love that one.
Yeah. I hate the remake. I will still watch the remake.
I will die on that hill. I love the remake. For that movie over the one, the remake. I'm like, that one had no soul in it.
Well, I mean, like I said, I still watch it, and I watched its sequel, and I'll still watch them multiple times. Just to me, I'm like, well, this is just a different story. It's not the same one. You know, Clash of the Titans, the original, stands on its own.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You can, come on. Harry Hamlin is the best Perseus. It's just
How could you hate on that movie? Really?
Pegasus. Come on, Pegasus.
Come on, right? Flying horse.
Kraken.
Unleash the Kraken.
That Kraken that has a beak.
Oh, who doesn't love a beaky Kraken?
I mean, I would definitely say, back to Thor. It's worth the price of the admission. And after evening admission, not just a matinee. Evening admission, it was worth it to me. Although I had to say I was disappointed with the trailers in front of it. So which did you go to, a Santikos or a Draft House?
Draft House. Okay. I always go to Draft House.
I'm wondering if you got different trailers than what Santikos gets. So yeah,
probably.
We got that's how bad they were. Nothing stood out where I was like, oh, I want to see that. Like, we didn't get any other of the Marvel trailers.
We didn't either. They weren't memorable because I can't recall a single.
Yeah, there was a new Disney cartoon that I was like, that looked like, I mean, the artwork was phenomenal. Strange World or something like that. Because it almost looked like, it was a toss-up between it looked like his family was on the alien planet or that they were inside the human body. The animation was like, well, that could be a red blood cell river, you know, that type of thing. It reminded me of that ride at Epcot where you travel inside the human body. Like that old movie where they shrunk him down and he had to go in the body in a little spaceship. Yeah. That's really the only one that stood out to me. But the rest of them, I was like, you know, usually in the summertime, especially, we're going to get like the big teasers. Like, I know they want to keep Guardians 3 under wraps, but
yeah,
come on, you could have given us a teaser other than showing them in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
You get the big tentpole kind of movies.
Yeah. So it was odd. It was odd to be watching a Marvel movie and not have big splashy trailers beforehand.
Yeah,
that's just my thoughts. So, but what did you think, people? If you've seen Thor, let us know. Let us know in the comments. Do you agree? Disagree? Did it live up to your expectations? I would give it a solid B+ as far as story. You know,
absolutely.
I still think Taika is doing a good job. I'm still looking forward to his Star Wars. Speaking of, did you hear this story that came out over the past week? I'm sure it was a joke, but still the gist of it is hysterical. So they're doing, their cast and director rounds of press for the opening of the movie. And the fact that Taika is going to be doing an upcoming Star Wars movie, was mm-hmm. brought up. And his movie is supposed to not be related to the Star Wars Walker family at all, but that he had asked Natalie Portman to be in the Star Wars movie, totally forgetting that she was in the prequels.
Huh? What did she say?
It's like, I've already been in it, and I basically like, I don't think I think I'm too recognizable of a character where people are going to accept me as somebody else. Unless she was an alien and covered up or something.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that could work, but how could he forget that she was in the prequels?
He could have been joking, It's hard to tell when you read it instead of like seeing the video of it and the context. I just thought it was funny. a funny little tidbit, because you never know with Taika's sense of humor.
Yeah. Well, I love his sense of humor. That's why I always enjoy his movies.
Oh, I just remembered another one of the trailers. You got the a bigger trailer for Nope, the upcoming movie from, Keenan? No. He did.
Jordan Peele.
There you go. Yeah, Jordan Peele, which I avoided watching the teaser trailer, and I've only read a little bit about it. So, like, seeing it extended, I was like, okay, this is not what I was expecting this movie to be. So that one did intrigue me too. All I know is there's aliens, or what appears to be aliens.
Appears to be aliens, and that if you look at them, they abduct you, and somehow the. What I'm getting the gist of the movie is that they're trying to get footage of the aliens without being abducted to prove to people that the aliens are there or something. It didn't turn out to be what I thought it was going to be.
Exactly. It's interesting going by the written description of teasers to like seeing the trailer and being like, oh, okay, that does not match up to how it was described. So. I look forward to seeing Steven Yeun as a cowboy, a carnival barker, basically.
That should be interesting.
So, but let's take a break, and we'll be right back and catch up on some of the latest nerd TV and other good stuff. So,
TV!
We'll be right back.
Hey, Dad, what's the Soul Forge podcast?
The Soul Forge podcast is all about life, the universe, and everything.
Is it good for kids?
Oh no, it's not good for kids.
Is it geeky?
Oh, it can be geeky, but it can also be serious. We talk about life, sex, dating, and mental health, and so much more.
Where can you find a SoulForge podcast?
You can find it everywhere. iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon Music, and the ESO Network.
Sponsored by Sweatpants and Coffee. The blanket fort of the internet where comfort rules. Look for their anxiety blog, Comfort and Encouragement Journal, available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. Find them on the web at www.sweatpantsandcoffee.com.
And we're back.
Oh, hello.
So we have entered that period of time where there's always too much TV to keep up with.
Oh,
so but granted, nice. we're getting some finales. So, you know, we just had the Boys finale. Of course, we've had the Stranger part two of the Stranger Things current season is now, that's now out and over. But we've got, I haven't watched it yet, but Moonhaven just premiered on A&E this week. So you can watch the first, not A&E, keep saying A&E, AMC. You can catch the first two episodes if you have AMC Plus. It's definitely on my watch list.
What was that show again?
Moonhaven.
Moonhaven, I've heard of that.
The commercials I've seen for it look really intriguing. Oddly enough, it gives me what was that movie that Tom Hanks was in that bombed, where it was like following, like bouncing around between different eras of planets or something like that?
Cloud Atlas. That's
like
the one.
Like the commercials like gave me a Cloud Atlas vibe, but not in a this is gonna.
This is gonna suck balls kind of way.
Well, I didn't think Cloud Atlas, like, it didn't suck nearly as people made it out to, in my opinion. But there's some, definitely looks to be some like either different eras or just completely different planets or something involved. It's a spacey show, so I try not to pay too much attention. I just caught the commercials of passing, so I'm like doing a horrible job describing it, but it caught my attention and it's on my watch list. So there. We just had Strange New Worlds just had its finale.
And, which I thought was phenomenal.
And I kind of know what happened with the Boys, but yeah. I'm so behind because of the move. I haven't watched them yet.
Yeah, the Strange New Worlds finale was kind of a remix of a classic, the original series episode.
Which I guess kind of this whole first season has been.
Yeah, this one just kind of dealt with Christopher Pike, because we're all aware that he's got this looming destined fate where he's going to be disfigured in an accident saving, you know, cadets or other, you know, Starfleet officers. And he's been all season trying to find a way out of it, obviously. Like, if I can avoid a painful future, I'm going to do that. And so he's thinking about altering the future, and he kind of gets visited by his future self in a kind of a, hey, don't do that, and here's why kind of way. And it kind of does a whole remix. And this episode is where they kind of do a soft introduction to the guy they cast as Captain Kirk.
Oh, Paul Wesley from Vampire Diaries.
And he does a fine job. I mean, he doesn't have, he's not playing it with obviously the over the top chest out kind of bravado that, you know, William Shatner played it with. But I mean, he does a pretty good job. And then of course they kind of tell you that Scotty's the chief engineer, but he's not, because they don't show him, but you hear him. But I mean, the whole thing is like, it's like, oh, you know, they go 8 years in the future, and this is what the future would be like, you know, Pike, if you do this. Yeah, it's really good. A really good finale. I mean, I think this whole first season has been fantastic.
Yeah, how about that episode where the daughter was in the Cloud Nebula thing, and they were all transported into the bedtime story? Like, that
one was fun. That one was fun.
I loved that.
Especially the actors who got to kind of play outside of the role that they're cast in.
Oh my God.
Get to ham it up.
The middle hair part they put on Anson Mount. Oh my gosh.
All season, like, this is why his hair has its own Twitter account. Really, his hair on Pike is immaculate. That is the every episode, it is just, it is like a wall of perfectly coiffed.
No, he is the epitome of why salt and pepper is attractive.
He is. I saw like a meme where they went through all the male Trek captains, and it was like Captain Picard was like granddaddy, grandpa, like captain. Kirk was like creepy uncle captain, and Pike was like, you know, Captain Daddy, Captain Zaddy.
I was gonna say Zaddy.
Yeah, and they said like, what's his name? Captain Sisko was like Captain Dad. You know, it was pretty funny. I was like, I would agree with that. You know, Anson Mount's a handsome dude, and Pike is just so smooth, and he's just so barrel chested.
It's like he's destined to play that role. Like, I cannot imagine anyone else in that role now.
They cast it absolutely immaculately. It was perfect casting, really was. That and Ethan Peck as Spock, just great. I think this whole first season was great, and I can't wait to see where they go from here. And
I love seeing Rebecca Romijn in a totally different type of role for her. And,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah,
it's if you guys should check it out. You know, I even got
if you feel burned by Discovery, because I understand it's a very polarizing show.
And I know Trekkies are like, Discovery sucks,
and if you found Picard to just be too much revisiting the past, like Strange New Worlds revisits the past, but in a completely different way and with reverence, I think, but also continues on looking forward in a completely different voice than the rest of the shows.
Right.
It's closest to traditional Trek we'll ever get, but it's done in such a good way.
It's got the story structure of the original series where they kind of focus on a different.
Yeah.
Yeah. They focus on a different crisis, and it just, I think they do a great job in, you know, not just because a lot of folks are like the serialized, we have to pay attention to every specific episode to figure out what's going on. Whereas Star Trek, you know, Strange New Worlds, you don't have to really. You can just jump into any episode.
I'm mad and be about like, Heimer.
Oh, Heimer. Yeah, that sucked. It was heartbreaking, but they, you know, they were going to have to set it up to eventually get to Scotty. You know, they're heading that way. So we'll see if they introduce him. I doubt they're doing it this soon, but because, I mean, the show setting is only like 2258. So we'll see. And I know I'm excited. where the show's going, and it's the best Trek show on Paramount Plus besides Lower Decks.
So for one Trek show to another, how do you feel about the change in tone on this new season of The Orville?
We
are hitting, like, it's a lot more drama, a lot less of McFarlane's signature comedy.
I enjoy it. I quite like it, how they've just kind of stepped their game up.
It's not what made us all fall in love with the show in the first place.
Well, yeah, it was on Fox to start with, and it was more lighthearted. And I think he dove more into the comedy side of it, like try to play up the comedy, because he obviously didn't have the sets that he may have wanted. So he's like, you know what, I'll just focus on the humor and it'll draw the attention away from the other stuff. Whereas now Hulu's like, here's blank check, man. All the effects you want, you know, all the best scripts. And obviously, Brian Braga is involved. He's one of the producers. And that name sounds familiar to you. It should, because he was highly involved in the Next Generation Trek and a lot of Trek TV series, you know, Deep Space Nine, all that. So it has, that's why it has that kind of tone and feel to it. I like it. The humor's a little less, but I think they're dealing a lot more with, you know, very weighty. And so, yeah, I like that it's gotten heavier in its subject matter. You know, like one of the episodes is dealing with Bordas's son, realizing that he doesn't feel like a boy, and that he's thinking and contemplating, you know, his sexuality. You know, it just doesn't feel right inside. And you have Kelly trying to deal with, should I tell him or should I not tell him? This is not my child. It's not my place. But, you know, the kid is dangerously close to taking his own life because he's, you know, she's not sure what's going on. And it's a lot of heavy subjects. And I think it makes you think. It's very contemplative now. I don't know what you think about it, but I like it.
I'm still on the fence. Like, I don't hate it by any means. I'm still watching it, but it's not, I am not as excited to watch each episode now. Where, you know, like it used to be, I was ready to watch it the next day it was on Hulu, you know, as soon as it was available on Hulu. And now I'm hitting that, like, okay, this is going to be more drama and it's not going to be as much of an escape.
I get that. I mean,
you know, and I'm typically looking for escape in my shows.
You're like, damn it, you're giving me more drama. I don't need that. I don't need to think about real life topics. I need to think about dumb shit.
Yeah. So
I get that. I enjoy it.
I'm watching. I don't hate it. I just haven't made up my mind how I feel about the different direction. I definitely like the production, higher production value. Although I do notice that even with a higher budget, there's sometimes the ship scenes or out in space where it's like,
I get to throw a few more bucks at that.
Yeah, like, this looks like a video game, you know, but.
Yeah, somebody did this on their Amiga.
Yeah, this is not Battlestar Galactica. You know, that's kind of, their space scenes were special. Or in The Expanse, you know, it's just like, now that's what you kind of.
Yeah,
you've seen what it can look like in a TV show now.
Yeah, well, like, and, for example, For All Mankind is like that. Their space scenes are like, whoa, this is some good shit. This is accurate as fuck, you know. And that's another good show that,
yeah,
it's fantastic. That's currently in the meaty part of its season, where it's the race to Mars. Get your ass to Mars, as Quaid would say. So you said you haven't seen The Boys. You haven't gotten caught up in that yet?
I know what happens.
So, yeah. Season finale is pretty fucking dope. Let's tell you folks that. I don't want to spoil it for anybody. But the showdown that you want to have happen does happen, but it doesn't turn out anything like you expect. And it just kind of sets up for next season where, you know, what are you going
to
do?
I'm just ready for, you know, somebody to get their comeuppance finally.
Well, yeah, I was hoping that was going to happen this season too, but it does not. So you just got to watch, folks. It sets up some people for, you know, some good things, and it sets up some people for some bad things. So
I do have to say, though, with this season in particular, like, we still have our, you know, gory, gross out moments, but the season took the storytelling in a slightly more serious, dramatic direction, where it wasn't just like punchline.
Yeah, it wasn't like dark humor kind of.
There still is dark
tongue in humor. Cheek.
Yeah, but
there's less of it. It's
we got much more character development this season, and
I think they did
stories that mattered, and we got a lot in a short amount of episodes.
I think they kind of advanced A-Train's character quite a lot. They dealt with a lot more of his internal kind of strife and struggle with who he is and how he's viewed in his community and how, you know, he might be letting those people down and how he maybe tries to do something about it. And of course he fucks it up and makes it worse. You know, I thought that storyline was really good. And Black Noir, they kind of go into his history a little bit. And there's just great sequences of him in like a Chuck E. Cheese type restaurant place. Yeah. You got to watch it.
Well, basically, we find out what his inner narrative looks like.
And it's all cartoons, folks. And it's really good. It's really good. I thought Eric Kripke is doing a great job.
And I have to say, Jensen Ackles has made a great addition to the guests.
Oh, he's amazing as Soldier Boy. He's playing such a great douche.
We've lived with him as Dean for so long, you know, that
just seeing him as a racist old dickbag, and you're like, with the beard.
But seeing where you're not sitting there going, it's just Dean cosplaying, you know, it's a completely different character. And that's
it shows that, he's a great actor. He makes you like, I hate this guy. When an actor can play a character and you either like, I love this character or I hate this character, it means they're doing a good job.
Yeah.
And he's doing a good job. And of course, Butcher still remains being Butcher. You just keep hoping that one of these times he's going to make the right choice.
I mean, he has glimmers of it.
It's like it's in there somewhere and it doesn't quite get to come out just yet. But I mean, he wouldn't be Butcher if he was a good guy.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would definitely recommend The Boys. Season was great, and now I am anxiously waiting for She-Hulk,
and it's better CGI.
And it's better CGI.
Hopefully.
I know, crossing fingers. Yeah, I hope so. And I was watching Ms. Marvel, and I didn't realize that was only 6 episodes.
All of them are only 6 episodes.
Because I watched episode 5, and it was kind of a departure. It was like we're going back in time to show what happened to Kamala's grandmother and, you know, the whole story about how she got separated from her father and her mother. And, you know, she followed the stars back to the train and to her father. And it kind of explains how that all went down. And I was just like, this is kind of an odd choice to make at the 5th episode, you know, out of 6, and you haven't really established the villains, who were really pretty weak in this series. I wouldn't even count them as villains. They're just kind of, they suck. I mean, I'm gonna be honest. The villains are pretty lame. They are. They're terrible. Like, there's hardly any kind of, like, the DDOC barely shows up. They're not even a factor. And then these clandestines, you're like, what are they? Who are they? They're not really any menacing threat, you know? And this whole episode 5, just kind of like, hey, while we're in the midst of her, you know, dealing with the fallout from, you know, the situation with her brother's wedding, let's go ahead and have, you know, her thrown back in time to save her own grandmother from, you know, getting lost in, during the partition. And it was just like, do you guys have enough episodes to pull something like this off? Or this late in the season? Like, maybe if you had 8 episodes or 10, you could have an episode like this, but you only have 6. It's just kind of, it annoys me that they did that. I'm just saying, throwing it out there.
Yeah, I just decided to put it on the back burner and wait till they all aired and binge it at some point.
It's not my favorite series, but I mean, I didn't think
we are not the people it's aimed at.
Exactly. I didn't expect it to. This
is a younger audience that they're going for, and the younger people I know watching it totally dig it. And so that's how I have to be like, this is like, we get enough heroes that are aimed at us.
Right. We have enough adult heroes.
Yeah.
It's time for the young folks to, and she's, I mean, I like her as Kamala, and I think her and her best friend, those characters are done well. It's just the villains are the weak spot for me in the whole structure of the last episode. Just really, I was like, really? Now? You couldn't have done this sooner? But it's like this, just a late in the game reveal. But anyway.
Marvel has to have missteps occasionally.
Yeah, they're not perfect. So I've heard rumors that in the She-Hulk series, that apparently I've heard rumors, this is Reddit stuff, so grain of salt, is that the Thing is supposed to make an appearance.
Wow, that thing's only going to be like 6 episodes too. I mean, I've heard all sorts of people making appearances.
I mean, that makes sense though, for him to appear in that show, because I mean, she's a lawyer, and I'm sure she's dealing with superhuman issues and law. Like, a hero is sued for wrecking a house or something, and she's got to, like, represent them in court. I mean, that could make sense, or he's accused of, like, hurting somebody or getting in a fight. You know, you could have all kinds of people cameo and show up. But I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm hoping it does.
Well, and we've all but pretty much had it confirmed that both Charlie Cox and actor who plays King Vincent D'Onofrio are both back for the Echo series.
Yeah, I hope they work them in, and I hope they don't just hold off on us getting to see them until like the 5th out of 6 episodes. You know,
or we get like I can see Kingpin being in a lot of the episodes. You know, she's got a vendetta now, but I mean, I would not be surprised if they just throw Matt in the same way they did in Spider-Man, you know, for like 2 minutes.
Well, I mean, if you get him to come back, you better hurry up with his own series, man. Daredevil.
No, I just bring Jessica Jones back. Come on.
Luke Cage back, bro.
Bring them all back. Luke Cage, except recast the Iron Fist. Retcon it like you did
the Mandarin. What happened to Danny Rand? Oh, he wasn't the true Iron Fist. He was slacking on his kung fu practice. He didn't go to class. His high kicks sucked balls.
Yeah, bring back the daughters. Like, come on.
Oh, yeah. Bring back Colleen Wing. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. What are you going to do?
You sit there with wishful thinking.
What we'd like to see in a series. Please do that. Don't bring back Danny Rand because he's lame. Or you could bring him back, but bring back a different actor.
Or have him pass the torch. Just bring him back. Bring back Danny. You could bring back Danny with the same actor, but have him pass the torch. Have him retire.
You know, have him get in a catastrophic accident. And like,
no, you don't need to be. Don't even need to be an accident. You just be like, you know what? Maybe I should stop appropriating this. And
yeah, maybe that would make sense.
We'll see him as somebody's prisoner in a cave, just like the Mandarin race, forced to entertain people.
Well, they could do it like they did with the Mandarin. They kind of like, hey, you remember how this one guy, we thought he was the Mandarin, he wasn't, he was just an actor. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
And he appropriated my name. And then, you know, you get Shang-Chi and you see the actual Mandarin, and you're like, oh, okay, he's good. That's dope.
Yeah.
We'll see. We're just spitball. We're just kind of throwing out dreams and wishes.
Caviar dreams and champagne wishes.
And ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas.
That seems like a good place to end this week's episode. As always, folks, we appreciate you tuning in. And we hope to see you next time. So until then, y'all take care out there.
And as always, don't forget your pillow.
Hey, wow.
The Blurred Nerds podcast is sponsored by Sweatpants and Coffee, home of the Real Anxiety Blob. Find them on the web at www.sweatpantsandcoffee.com.
You've been listening to the Blurred Nerds podcast, a member of the ESO Network. Join in on the nerd fun by following the Blurred Nerds on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also check out our sister channel, GVTV, on YouTube at Geek Ventures Television. Have comments or show ideas? Want to hear more? Subscribe today, join us on our social media channels, or send us an email to theblurrednerds@gmail.com.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.